Turn our attention to the nursing home disaster, all due to the pandemic. Bob Heppenheimer has been with us throughout, CEO Guardianship Corps in the industry for a long time, three decades plus. And as always, we welcome him to the airwaves. Robert, how are you? Hope you're doing okay during this very messy aftermath here on a Wednesday.
Yes, I hope everybody's well. Good morning, Jay. Quite a mess, and I think many of us are still waking up to our emergency generators, if we're lucky. Going on this morning.
No question about it. Let's take a little bit of a turn into the Senate investigations that took place. It was a hearing Monday, and it was interesting, you know, again, not getting a lot of answers. You know, kind of everything always kind of reverts back to me, Bob, to the March 25th date with the governor and his health commissioner, Dr. Zucker, Howard Zucker, ordering nursing homes to admit those COVID positive patients. We don't even know the number of deaths involved. You know, I keep hearing 6,500. I think it's a lot more because you have so many who later died in those hospitals. We could be talking over 10,000 for all we know. And you know something? You can't even get an answer out of Zucker in that regard.
Well, that was actually quite evident during the hearing. The senators kept asking him, and apparently New York is one of the only states that didn't count these deaths as nursing home deaths, and Commissioner Zucker refused to give a number, saying that he wouldn't give a wrong number, but we have no way of knowing, because there was no tracking, what percentage of deaths in hospitals during this time frame were nursing home deaths, because once these folks had exhibited symptoms, they were shipped to the hospital, and then if they passed on from there, they were not counted in the nursing home death toll, apparently. So our statisticians apparently were not able to capture this information, although I can't understand that. We do know which residents from the nursing home perspective died, whether they were in hospital or not. So there are ways of identifying this information. But somehow New York State, this is one data point that we don't have.
And you know what's amazing?
I'm quite unhappy about that, by the way.
You know, excuse me, lost my voice there for a second. You know, it's interesting as they regain the chords. Hold on.
While you're clearing your voice.
Help me out here.
I absolutely want to key in on what is, in my mind, the most important issue retrospectively and absolutely the most important part today, which is, again, the failure of PPE and the lack of testing. Today, we still don't have a policy in the state that is regularly testing nursing home residents. We are testing staff. However, the staff testing is taking two or more weeks to get back. I personally am awaiting a COVID test from 2 weeks ago yesterday that I still don't have. So number one, we are performing tests that are almost valueless on the staff. Number two, we are not testing. We did one round of testing in June to know who was positive finally, as I advocated since May. But going forward, we need to have the capacity in these nursing homes to do rapid testing of staff and patients and visitors so we can open up these places to a more normal routine. But if we do not get testing into these buildings going forward, we're going to see another debacle, not having sufficient testing, not having timely testing, and not being able to really segregate patients when and if they do turn positive. And staff.
And you know, Bob, here's the deal, and you're right, because I don't want to hear about the tests, you know, the president with the 61 million, and, you know, I hear the governor with the 6 million tests. Doesn't mean anything to me. Why can't we have a rapid test all over the place? 5 minutes, 15 minutes. Why can't we get the rapid test into play here in this country? I can't figure that one out.
Right now, we have the opposite of a rapid test. We have, it's all, in my opinion, don't waste the swab and the testing processes if you can't deliver a test within 48 to 72 hours, a result. Otherwise, it's a meaningless test. And by the way, you get a call that 2 weeks ago you tested positive, and you've been walking around because you don't know. The testing right now today, while again, we can, there's going to be a lot of retrospection about, were these new COVID patients in these nursing homes? Did it drive additional transmission? Were these, as I've put forth, many of these patients tested positive early on. It was due to staff. It was due to other nursing home residents who had gone out to doctor's offices and hospitals and came back without, again, any understanding that COVID was out there. And then once there was an understanding, there was no testing in these buildings and very limited PPE. So how you differentiate how many of those folks died early, unknown, because of the where we were COVID, versus how many died because they brought back people, I don't know if we'll ever have that answer. But today, in August, we need to have, in the highest risk population, rapid testing capabilities as quickly as we can bring to bear. That is the solution going forward while we figure out the errors of the past.
Bob Heppenheimer with us, CEO of Guardianship Corps. You're right. Now, listen, if the UK has it, why can't us? Why can't we have it? I can't figure it out. I don't want to hear about the numbers. I'll tell you two things that bother me from the hearing on Monday. You know, and listen, I've applauded the governor. He's done a pretty good job overall. He has not handled the nursing home. It's been a disaster. I've said that from day one. You know, you could tell us about the numbers and the flattening of the curve and the percentage rates and opening up the schools, the numbers, you know, they're right on. Data, science, he always, you know, accentuates that. But yet, we can't have a number as far as the nursing home deaths. To me, that amazes me. And the biggest contradiction from Monday, we know about the edict of March 25th, COVID pods back into those homes. But then the reversal in May, Robert, as far as allowing the COVID
test. Two negative tests.
Two test staffers, and then the reversal as far as only COVID negative back into those homes. Those were the contradictions, okay? Contradictions that remain in play. And I'll tell you, Dr. Deer in the headlights didn't have a lot of answers regarding that grilling. Did not have a lot of answers. I'll tell you that much.
We will have an ability to see whether cohorting these COVID-positive people in other sites compared to what we did in the state. Florida has created COVID-specific either nursing homes or units that they are managing to try to avoid mixing these folks in. However, they still have a very high death toll, and they still have a very high positivity rate. So it will be interesting over a couple of months to be able to compare the outcome of isolating these folks versus what we did. And I just, again, have to point out that, in my opinion, bigger issue was not treating COVID-positive people. It was treating people that you did not know were COVID-positive with no testing capability. So we cohorted people of unknown status, assumed negative status, until one of them exhibited symptoms. And then, of course, we then tested. That is the biggest weakness we had, was not knowing who was COVID positive. Once you have the diagnosis, you can, and any decent facility is going to separate them and use high-level, droplet-level precaution PPE, and hopefully, if they do their job properly, prevent any cross-contamination. But if you don't know that somebody is positive and you're treating them assumedly negative, you are putting everybody at risk. And that's what we did until June, when we finally took a snapshot, knew who was positive, moved those folks out, and then kept the other people negative. That's the right way going forward. Quick, rapid testing of anybody going into these nursing homes, as well as the residents, so that they can have some freedom and not be locked up for the next year with no visitors, which is still pretty much...
That's the other thing I was going to bring up, but let me say this. You know, there were plenty of venues out there, Bob, that we could have moved some of these individuals to. If you were COVID positive, you're moving. Listen, the Foley, I thought was the best example. The Foley, the old Foley nursing home.
It's
the
a 64-bed skilled nursing facility laid out. I don't know if it's still intact, but I'm sure that had we put in the resources, not only were there 264 beds, that facility was built, one of the few facilities on the island with negative pressure rooms, which would be specifically for this kind of disorder. So why that was not activated and used as a staging area, that's a very good question. It was a resource. It's a physical plant. ready to go, or was.
The thing you brought up was the visitation. I mean, we are allowing inmates to get visits from people. We can't allow our seniors to get visits in some sort of fashion here. It's unbelievable. Group homes have allowed it. Why haven't we allowed our seniors to have visitation? I mean, there's more damage to be done in that regard.
There is a policy that the state put out last month, and every facility has to evaluate their own internal criteria, one of which is they can have no positive cases, staff or patients, for 28 days. So if they've had a 28-day clear run, they can then, based on limits to no more than 10% of the total population, so if there's 200-bed nursing home, they're allowed up to 20 visitors, one at a time, in a controlled setting, internally. However, from what I can see, you know, because I have 40 cases and get letters from many nursing homes, most of them still have stumbling blocks, because if they have a positive staff test, they've got to start back on the 28 days. And by the way, that staff test is probably 3 weeks old, but that's the other issue. So there are some facilities that are 28 days without any COVID, and they are able to allow limited visitation, but that could literally stop at any moment because somebody tests positive, a staff member. So there's a process, but it is a torturous process because, you know, if you have a family ready to visit next week, scheduled, and somebody tests positive, that visit is canceled, and the clock starts back on the 28 days. So some positive movement, but it is a difficult process for these facilities to have to get through the 28 days and not have any COVID in the building.
Listen, I would grill this guy till the cows come home. I want to know how many deaths. He knows. They know how many deaths occurred at the nursing home. They give us the science up the kazoo on a daily basis, science and data. You can't tell me the number of deaths.
The chairman actually said to him, "You're keeping statistics that make you look good, bro. That's not good," or something to that effect. So they clearly kept on hammering at exactly what you are. What's the real number? And what is the real analysis of how many of those folks were admitted after your edict requiring facilities to take in these kinds of positive patients?
A day that will live in infamy, in my opinion, regarding this whole thing, March 25th. Robert, always a pleasure to get you going here.
Any takeaway I can leave, testing in these facilities as soon as possible, that will absolutely give the control to keep people safe in the administrators. Oh, and by the way, just one comment, this whole hearing that was held, not one nursing home administrator has been asked to put forth their thoughts as the recipient of everything that came down from the top.
Interesting.
Your thoughts on how this all played out.
Yeah. Very interesting. I tell you, loads of answers need to be put in play here.
Next week, and we'll certainly keep an eye on it and maybe touch base later on.
No question. Always great to have you. Stay healthy now. Mr. Heppenheimer, yep. Guardianship Course CEO, of course, in this industry for the 30-plus years. He's right. Rapid tests. I mean, why is it the U.K., the fine folks of the United Kingdom, they have developed a rapid test and put it out all over the place. 5-15 minutes. Why is it? Why do we still have to wait 7 to 10 days to get a result? It's ridiculous. You'll save lives. I'm going to tell you right now, you'll save. Hard to believe with the technology we have. That's the biggest problem right now. I don't want to hear 61 million people. We're in first play. Who cares? Don't care. India in second place, 12, who cares? And I'll tell you, even the state with 6 million, I don't really care. I don't care if you're testing a zillion people. Give me a rapid test. That's what you need here. You need a 5 to 15 minute result. I'll even go back to my own experiences. You know, my family tested after I got tested positive. It took them a week to find out the result. A week. Pins and needles. Can't have that right now. You want to quell this spread? Get the result quick. That's the And I'll tell you one thing. You want to open up the schools? You better have that in play, too. You must get rapid testing. That is the biggest thorn right now in all of this mess, is the testing. I don't care how many tests are being put out. Doesn't mean anything. You must get the result back quick. I tell you, these briefings at night, I can't watch them anymore. It's ridiculous. Nobody cares anymore. Nobody cares anymore. I get it. We shut the borders down. Can you give me an update as far as where we are in time regarding this virus? Where are we at? And I'll tell you, if you saw that Axios interview on HBO, that was rough. That was rough. Folks, pick your poison in November, I'll tell you that much. It's choices right now, I'll tell you, I don't know. Pick your poison. All I know is we got to fix this problem right now.